Touchdown Tampa Bay, you're listening to the PewterCast.
Welcome to the PewterCast. My name is Brent Allen, joined as always by my good friend Ren Dax. Ren, it's nice to see you on. It's bright and sunny outside.
Right? Weird. Like, what's going on?
I know. It's like, this is the wrong time of day. You've got the light shining in on you, which almost never happens for us, pal.
Yeah, so now when, you know, I go, whoa, what time we should do it? And you're like 10, I'm going to be like, well, now let's, I can't go at 6. You did it for a guest.
Yeah,
do it for me.
Oh, well, there you go. I could sell this one a little bit more than I could the other, I'm sure. But we are here. We have a special guest.
What?
Yeah, well, hey, we've been trying to get this guest for the last 3-4 years, and we finally got them, and they can do 5 o'clock in the afternoon versus, hey, Ren and I are going to record at 6 o'clock in the evening tonight with all the kids around. One's a little more difficult of a sell, you know?
Are you saying that, like, recording at 6 o'clock in the evening 400 times is different than recording once?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to think about that for a moment. Yes.
I got you now. Okay. Fair enough. 10 o'clock it is. P.M.
Well, Ren, we do have a very special guest that, as people may have heard, we've been trying for a lot of years to get to come on this show, which is we finally was able to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm excited about this, you know, and, you know, sort of hearing her story. Uh-huh. I wanted to say it like during recording, then I wanted to say it after the recording, but then I decided to save it right now. Like the Wonder Kid, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're going to hear a part coming up here where, you know, we introduce her, and as if you're familiar with the PewterCast, you always know, like, you know, introduce yourself. Like, how did you get from, you know, birth to where you are now?
Please don't start with I saw a light at the end of the tunnel. Don't start there.
But, you know, at 17, she got 2 internships, one at Fox and one with the Mavericks. And it was like, whoa. So she was off and running. But this was really fun. This is a good interview. And, you know, we sort of push her out of her comfort spot and, you know, let her be the analyzer, incisor. She's the insider.
Now she's a tooth. Yes.
And well, Buccaneer talent.
And of course, as you guys have read the title of the episode already, Ren is referring to our very own Casey Phillips, Buccaneers insider, team reporter for the team. Ren, to my knowledge, I don't know that she's ever done interviews where she's the interviewee, at least none that I've heard.
Yeah. And that was sort of one of the things, you know, like you said, she's always been on the list. Like, what about Casey? What about Casey? What about Casey? And we're like, I don't know. It's like she's surrounded by a moat. And then a 40-foot brick wall.
Getting somebody who's on the team is always a little more trickier than, you know, somebody who's surrounding the team.
Right. So, you know, building up sort of our reputation and, you know, our relationship with the Bucks as an organization, I think really helped here. But like I said, this was a fun interview. And she had no problem coming out of her shell. Which I was really hoping would happen. And yeah, this is a good listen. You're definitely going to enjoy this one.
Yeah. And we're going to touch on all things, you know, like Ren said, we're going to find out, you know, kind of how she got into this whole business. She turns out she was a little feisty, Ren. She's got a little of the,
she's competitive.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, she very much is
competitive.
She much is. She's going to dish on the Ali and Donovan show and how it kind of, some things backfired on her during that time, which was a fun piece of the show. So, I guess that's going to do it for us, Ren, for this part. So without further ado, why don't we go ahead and jump right into it, guys? Casey Phillips is with us today on the PewterCast, team reporter, Buccaneers insider. That's what we got coming with you on the other side of this break.
Here to be the Bucks reporter.
Sure. So it depends on if you want the short or the long version. I'll try to make it maybe like a long medium version. The long version. go. Okay, so actually when I was 12, our school had a news station and, you know, reporting very serious news like the lunch menu. And I decided to sign up and loved it, fell in love and grew up watching the Today Show. And I remember my dad saying, you know, man, I feel like you could do that someday. And so I really, at 12 years old, decided, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to do broadcasting. And then in high school, we actually had a TV station again in our school. And my professor was like, hey, you know, I give one student the chance to interview for internships every year. And I know this is actually what you want to do for work. So I'm going to let you interview for Fox Sports Southwest and the Dallas Mavericks. And you're not going to get it because you're 17 and you're going against college graduates, but it'll at least give you the chance to interview. And that was really when I thought, man, like, why hadn't I thought about the sports side? I played a million sports and loved them. And I also realized that if you make it in news, you're in the middle of the Iraq war. If you make it in sports, you're at the Super Bowl. So I was like, yep, that sounds more fun. So then basically she let me go on those interviews. And that's when I realized that God definitely wanted me to do it as well, because I got both of them, which makes zero sense on it being on my merit standpoint as a 17-year-old with no resume and no experience. To get both of those. So I was working these 12-hour days that summer, going from one internship to the other. And from there, hardly had interview again, because I met people, just, you know, it's a small world sports is. And so I basically did three summers with Fox Sports Southwest. I did the one with the Mavericks. I did two with the CBS affiliate in Dallas. And I did two summers with the Cowboys. So that took me from 17, you know, through college. And I went to Mizzou because they have a great broadcast program. They own the NBC station in town. So when you're a student, you're not just making stories that, you know, get shown in class. You're actually on the NBC station. So anyone in the middle of Missouri is watching you if they're watching NBC. So I did that. And then from there, I actually tore my ACL at the end of my college career. And so that kept me from getting any of those normal journalism jobs I planned on, because, you know, at the beginning of your career, you're carrying a tripod and carrying a camera and doing all these things. You're down on the ground shooting. And I physically couldn't do that stuff yet. So I found this internship at Disney that was for people that were either in their master's programs or just having finished it. And I had just finished my master's at Mizzou. And so I went there and I worked in their sports public relations office. So anything from the Super Bowl parade to the marathons and half marathons in the park, to everything going on at Wild World of Sports, which at the time was actually the year of the NFL lockout. So got to, you know, cover a bunch of those guys training there. From Disney, went to the Wizards and was there team reporter, similarly to how I am with the Buccaneers. So I covered the Wizards and the Mystics and a little bit of the Capitals, since they're all owned by the same people. Then I went to the Rams for a year, and then my boss at the Rams came down to the Bucks and brought me with him, and that's how I got here.
Casey, that's fantastic. I know that I have heard probably at least a half a dozen times over the years that you used to work for Disney. I forget it every time, but that always perks my ears, because I was a cast member for 4 years myself, working over there, and got cool. to actually be over at the Wild World of Sports during effective, I think it's like the NBA for deaf people. Like, they were having their national championships there one time, and I happened to know sign language and was able to be awesome. There to help facilitate some stuff. So it always
very cool.
You know, it's that like it's like a club, you know, of former cast members that I always, you know, feel a little connection with you on that level. So your boss came down from the Rams, and that's how you got to the Bucks. Did you grow up having a particular favorite football team? Were the Bucks ever on your radar? Like how did you grow up with this whole thing?
I feel like people are going to hate me with this, but I mean, I grew up in Dallas, so at least I'm not a bandwagoner, but I definitely was a Cowboys fan growing up. There's pictures of me watching their, you know, Super Bowls in the 90s and my Cowboys pajamas with my dad. And so I'm a real life, grew up in Dallas, you know, Cowboy fan that whole time. But it's funny how once you start working in the industry, how quickly your allegiance shifts. I wondered how it would go when the Bucks would play the Cowboys or something like that. And believe me when I tell you that you very quickly are rooting for the team that pays your rent.
Yeah, I can imagine that helps a lot. You know, I wanted to ask a question about, you know, how you're doing this pandemic and you know, where you are. But sort of, I want to stick to sort of the production side. Like, what had to be done? Because everyone knows, and if you don't, you should, that you're still putting out videos. Like, you're still working. You're still, you know, doing interviews with coaches and with the players. And you're still doing, you know, pods with Scott Smith. So, like, what had to go into that? Did you happen to have all that stuff sort of sitting around the house? I mean, I assume at least it had to bring you that halo light.
Yeah, so I ordered that off of Amazon right after I realized this was not going to be a, you know, like 1 week thing. I had to get them to bring me a football for in my set that would help us have some of our normal branding behind us to fulfill some sponsor requests and things like that. And I ordered the ring light. And then otherwise, it's just everything is being done with my phone and my laptop. That's really equipment wise. The only other thing that I did need more equipment for was the live show we did before the draft. Mm-hmm. They had to bring me a laptop and a backup Wi-Fi router just in case our internet went out, and a Bluetooth remote that would help me talk to my producers in this app that was on the iPad that they brought me. So that's the only technology-wise thing that I've had to get. Otherwise, this was basically me moving furniture and stuff around my apartment to build a little makeshift set and finding exactly the amount of height of books I need to stack to put my phone and laptop at the right height for it. And that's how my living room looks currently, is, you know, with bookshelves and books stacked and a ring light tripod in the middle of it. So that's the new setup now.
You talked about the football that they brought you. Now, this is a big deal. Now, you know, we're all quarantined, is judging everyone's backdrop as they, you know, go live or record from their house. How much thought did you put into it? And, you know, how would you rank yourself? Are you happy with the backdrop that you've come up with?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty proud of myself. A lot of thought went into it. I had to, A, find where there was good natural lighting in my apartment, which of course wasn't anywhere near where the furniture was that I thought would work best for this. So, I moved bookcases into a completely different room, and I went through all my books and figured out what are the books that seem like they'd be reasonable to have in the background here. Like, what are some of my sports books or things like that? And put the draft hat up there. I found that I basically just looked for anything in my apartment that could work for the Bucks. And the thing is, most of my Bucks memorabilia, gear, things like that are at my desk at work. So I was like, man, I don't have a lot to work with here. So I found a candle that I have that has kind of the like Gasparilla type, you know, look to it that has the skull and crossbones. I was like, all right, that works. And then I pulled out my shoe that was from when I did the My Cause My Cleats last year.
Oh yeah.
Put that behind me. I had a Bucks wine glass that I put behind me. And then the real creative part that I give myself some props for is I had, you know, a couple jerseys here that I wear to games and things like that. So I was like, well, but how am I going to display this? Like, I can't just like sit it there. Like, what am I going to do? And so I took a canvas off my wall and draped my jersey around the canvas and then set that on my shelf. So yep, that was my setup.
It's always amazing with stuff like that. If you catch the behind the scenes look at it, you're like, well, that's it. That's how you did that. But it looks so good on camera. Yeah. You know, when you guys do that. And you know, I know Ren said that this kind of become the big thing during the quarantine. It's always sort of been a big thing for me personally. So I definitely always appreciate a good set behind somebody or a good background, particularly when they go live. Casey, question for you, as far as like all these videos you do, like the ones you're doing now, and even the ones like that you normally do without the quarantine and everything like that happening, how much of are you involved in that creative process of coming up with the idea and producing it? Or is there somebody else who's coming up with the idea and just saying, here's what you're doing? How does that typically work for you?
It depends very much what video specifically. So I'm given incredible amounts of creative control, which I love. That basically when it comes to my interviews, whether right now or like during a normal season, you know, when I do my hour-long radio show with a player, my show, my 30-minute TV and radio show with coach, other 30 minutes with an assistant coach, any of that stuff, like I come up with all the questions, all the segments, that's all on me. Things like Casey's Corners that we used to do, that was all me coming up with those ideas. That for the most part, in any interview I do, I sit down with a guy, like I'm coming up with all the questions. Now, if we do some new one-off thing or a series or something like that, sometimes there can be other people that will have come up with the idea, like we're about to start doing something that's called At Home With, where one of our producers just kind of brought up the idea of how we could see what guys are doing during quarantine. So there might be somebody that kind of comes up with an idea for a concept. But in terms of who I decide to reach out to, which players I speak to, what I ask them to do, all my interviews, like I come up with all that stuff. And that's what I really love, that it makes it to me a lot easier for it to be more personal and relaxing and conversational and all of that when it was really something that was just my idea that this is a genuine conversation I'm having with this guy, not something that somebody else wrote for me and then I'm trying to, you know, give to him secondhand.
Right. I think that really shines through. I mean, this was a question, Brett and I went over some of the questions beforehand, and when, you know, he brought that one up to me, I'm like, I would really like to know that. But I really felt like I knew the answer, because what you said is like trying to do it secondhand, pass along the information, but letting you have creative control, I think it really shows through. And, you know, like you said about Casey's Corner, and then I know there was a slice, and last year I think it was called Goalpost to Goalpost or Post to Post, where you'd walk the field with the player. Yeah, I thought all those were great. Of course, Brett and I, and probably everyone else under the sun's favorite, is still the Ali and Donovan Absolutely. Show. And talking about the background, you know, Brett and I have been lucky enough to been awarded, you know, some credentials during training camp. And you walk into the room where that's a recording, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of, it looks great on camera. That's not much. But besides the at home with, like, is there anything brewing that Bucks fans can expect next year? Like a new post to post or something that you've been thinking about that, you know, when it gets back to the, and I'm going to air quote it, new normal. That's, you know, I guess the phrase we use now, that Bucks fans look forward to that you're going to be doing with you and the players or the organization.
Yeah, so we haven't even remotely gotten to the planning stage of new content for the season, especially because so much of it is up in the air and we don't know what it's going to look like. And also right now we're just trying not to drown in this time of figuring out all these new ways to do things. And so we've really been brainstorming a lot of content for what can we do right now, you know, during this quarantine and all the way up until we actually would have football. So one of the new things that we're about to do, I just shot the first one yesterday and I've got a few more planned tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday next week. We are going to start trying to do Zoom calls with some of the position groups. So we always talk about how we love that those position groups get so tight with each other because they're in meeting rooms together all the time and their lockers are next to each other. That while there are plenty of guys on the team that are friends with people not in their position group, you can always tell there's just a different level of closeness among the one group. So we're trying to get as many of the guys as we can on the one Zoom chat with their position group and just let everyone kind of see what those dynamics are like, let them joke around, have fun, and help everyone just feel like they're on a Zoom call with some of these different position groups. So those are going to start coming out hopefully next week. So that's at least something to look forward to over the next month or so.
So Ren just brought it up, and I feel like we have to talk about it. We can't. Probably our personal, at least I know for me, I don't want to speak for Ren, but I know for me, my personal favorite thing you've ever done is the Ali and Donovan show. All the way back to when you were just doing the radio side, even up to the video side. Can you talk to us about what that's been like? Is it coming back again? Like what, how did that go? Cause I remember listening to you guys on the radio and the three of you just seemed like you were genuinely having the best time in the world every single week.
Yeah, it really is. It probably is my favorite thing that I have done in my career. I mean, in terms of especially like a continuous thing like that, you know, Ali and Donovan will forever have a special place in my heart because we also all came in right at the same time. We joked that we were rookies together because I started with the Bucks just 2 or 3 weeks, I think, before the draft that year. And every year when we have rookies come in, we do so much with the rookies that there's a whole rookie program. They call it the Rookie Club where, you know, they learn finance stuff. They take them to an etiquette class and a cooking class and just all these fun things to help them bond with each other and sort of learn how to become pros and that kind of thing. And I go to all of that. So I always get to know our rookies really well from an off the field personality standpoint. So that year, we just had such a great group of rookies, and Ali and Donovan, I could tell just so quickly that they got along with each other really well. And I really got along with them. And after doing a bunch of stuff with them that first year, I remember going to my boss and saying, you know, I know we have, you know, the rights to a certain amount of radio hours and for looking at what we could do next year. I really think that we could do a show with Ali and Donovan. And a few people at the office were kind of like, offensive linemen, like, are you sure? Because typically to get people to really tune into a show, especially if it's going to be every week, it's got to be your wide receivers, your quarterbacks, your running back, you know, the big name guys that are skill set guys that everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, I want to listen to that guy talk. But unfortunately, offensive linemen don't always get all that credit. I was telling them, like, I'm telling you, these guys have the personality to really make it amazing. And so they told me to prove it, essentially. So I took Ali and Donovan to do a Taco Tuesday video where we went to Green Lemon their first year. And I just said, eat as many tacos as you possibly can. And that was the premise of the whole thing, was just watching them get the meat sweats as they ate like 15 of these green lemon tacos, and me quit after three, like completely full, and just laugh about this whole thing and just kind of talk amongst ourselves while we ate. And at the end of that, I remember my bosses and different people came and they were like, yep, you're right, go for it. And so that was how we got the radio show. And then through that, we then got rights to the TV show a couple of years later, that we, again, we just needed a TV show. We'd signed to do that deal. And I said, well, hey, like, as funny as they were on the radio, I think it's actually going to be better if it's on TV, because then people are reminded that this is a 300 plus pound man saying and doing these things, and that there's a lot of physical comedy in addition to us talking on the radio. And they're like, all right, like, let's do it. And thankfully, Allie and Donovan are just awesome guys. They're game for a lot of fun things, and they're reliable, which is a huge part of that, because you forget that, you know, with a TV show, like, you're obligated to deliver that every week. If you had a player just like not show up, you're going to be in big trouble. So I knew I could count on them. And yeah, I mean, I basically just got to think every week on the radio show and the TV show, what would be really fun to talk about or to do. And I felt like I just got to be a kid, you know, for that 30 minutes or an hour, where I'm like, you know what? I want to play the game where they have to smash whipped cream in their face. Like, I just, and they never knew ahead of time what we were doing. They would show up and we'd start the show, and they found out what we were doing as we were shooting it, because I felt like that would just keep it really organic and authentic. And so they were learning with everyone else what was going to be done. And to their credit, they never said no. They never were like, oh, I'm too big of a deal for this. They just were like, Casey, I can't believe you're making us do this, but all right, let's go.
Casey, do you have maybe a favorite memory, a conversation you guys had, or a running joke, or maybe even something from behind the scenes from your time with the Allie and Donovan show, either the radio or the television one, that you could share with us?
Oh, man. I feel like probably one of my favorite moments was, there's a couple of them, but from the TV show that we played, the game that Jimmy Fallon does a lot of, What's in the Box, where you have to like put your hands in there and feel around and see what it is.
Yeah.
And we put a remote control tarantula in it, and they both jumped and were so, I mean, they were like legit terrified, right, for that second. And Allie especially caught himself. He was about to drop an F-bomb and turned it to fudge at the very last second, which was always kind of a joke that, you know, I'm this little goody two-shoes that doesn't really cuss. And so he always jokes that he tries to say fudge around me instead of anything else. And so just watching them get terrified was amazing. And also when we did the whipped cream, and so both the whipped cream, and we also did the game that's Bean Boozled, which is just the worst game in the whole world, where it's these jelly beans that half of them are horrific tasting. Mm-hmm. And if you've never played this game, I cannot express, like, it will make you gag. They are so gross. And the other half are like normal flavors, and you have no idea what you're getting. So again, with the whipped cream and the jelly beans, my plan was having them play it, and I'm like the host and moderator. And both times they essentially forced me to play. Like, I could tell this was not like a, we're going to joke about this and let you get off. Like, I could tell they were looking at me like, no, this is happening. If you're making us do this, you're doing it too. And both times, Allie, I think Allie didn't get a bad tasting one the whole time. And Donovan and I, there's these like still shots of he and I spitting these jelly beans out into these towels with just the most horrific look on our faces. And Allie is dying laughing at us, like zero empathy, doesn't feel bad at all. And then same thing, like, I ended up getting the whipped cream on the very first attempt, when it like didn't happen at all to one of them. And so I ended up like getting the worst end of the deal multiple times, thinking that I was going to get out of it by just making them play. So those were some pretty funny moments, watching them just openly laugh at me.
You know, I'm so glad that sort of our talk, interview, whatever you want to call it, has gone this way. You know, bringing a new guest on, and you're not really sure how it's going to go. And I just want to thank you for, you know, these extended answers and sort of opening up to us, because you know, even though we do get to see you all the time, as Buck fans, like, we don't really know anything about you. Like, Brent mentioned the Disney thing. I remember one time you talking about blowing out your ACL. So I'm just really happy, and I just want to thank you right here off the bat on the air, so everybody can hear that you did this, and sort of, I don't know if it's us or if it's you, but I'm just really excited about how this is going. So I have a question about your ACL, and then I kind of want to switch it and let you sort of step into the limelight as far as something that you don't get to do a lot. So be honest, if you didn't blow your ACL, were you going pro?
So I actually was really, really, really into basketball when I was younger, to the point where I went to my first national championship, ironically, at Disney at the Robert Sports when I was 9 or 10. And I played year-round basketball, traveling competitive from 9 all the way through high school. My last AAU team, we went to the Adidas tournament in Atlanta, where you have, you know, Connecticut, Tennessee, Texas coaches there watching. And my plan was absolutely like I was going to play D1 ball. And I don't know that I'd thought too much about WNBA, just because, again, I knew that I wanted to do broadcasting. So it was more of like, it just wasn't what I wanted necessarily. But I do remember that there were a few girls that I played on teams with who did go to the WNBA. So I'm not going to sit here and say that I could have gone pro, because I would have, who knows what happens or not. But I definitely know that I would have played D1. And I remember actually when I was at Mizzou going to some of the women's games, and it was really hard watching and knowing I had chosen not to play. And, you know, I knew it was the right path, because it really just wasn't possible to play and do the broadcast program the way that I felt like I needed to do it. But I would watch the game, and I remember there was a girl on Mizzou's team starting at one point who I had started over on our last AAU team. And there was a little part of me that was kind of bummed, thinking like, man, like I could be out there right now. But ended up just playing at the rec center every week, pretending to live my old glory days. And then, of course, right as I'm finishing my master's, I played every single week at the rec center from freshman year all the way through my master's. And like within the month or two before I'm supposed to graduate, I blow my ACL out. And I was like, well, all right, cool. That's officially, I've officially gotten old and over the hill and past my prime, and this is time to hang it up.
So let me get this straight. So you made the decision that you wanted to go into journalism coming out of high school, and you could have played D1 ball. And as evident as you're sitting there at Mizzou and you're looking at someone that you beat out in high school is on the court. So to compensate, you went down to the rec center anytime possible just to go run and make people look silly down there in college.
Yeah, pretty much, because I was always the only girl playing too. And there's nothing better than being the only girl playing with a bunch of guys and scoring on them or stealing the ball from them or blocking them or something, and hearing all these people watching nearby go, oh, like there's just something so gratifying about that, that I was like, you know what, this almost makes up for it.
So you talk about being the only girl. Let's transition into that. You are working for a team that, at least as far as I know, and I can't say that I know how all 32 teams in the league are doing, but the Buccaneers seem to be a team that, especially in recent years, have been in the news for sort of leading the way in empowering women and you know, bringing women into the limelight. You know, we know about the coaching hires from last year and various things. What is that like for you, working in an organization like the NFL, but then also, you know, specifically with the Bucks, which seem to sort of be, you know, leading the way in this sort of way thing?
Yeah, it really is incredible. I am honored, I think is the only way to put it, about the way that the Buccaneers view hiring women and just diversity in their hiring overall. I mean, even on the football side, you know, you have African-American coordinators, you know, all three of the coordinators, and you do have two female coaches. I mean, there's just so much to it that the Buccaneers have made this a priority. And for them, they don't just want to hire women or minorities, but they want to hire whoever is best for the job. And that's really, to me, what, as a woman, like, that's what I want. I don't want someone to hand me something because I'm a girl. I just want everyone to view me as an equal opportunity with everybody else for that position. And if I am the best candidate, then hire me. And that's what the Buccaneers do. They decide we're going to hire the best person. And it's meant that they've hired women, they've hired minorities. They just have a lot of diversity in a lot of different areas. And it really does make me so proud. And I love how often I get to sit around and look at all these other women, whether it's on the business side that are, you know, at VP levels, or on the content side, you know, that there's just women all over the place in this field. This is so cool. Because again, as a kid, I think about the fact that it didn't even occur to me to go into sports until someone told me to go interview for those internships. And I have to imagine that part of that was because, again, if I had been a boy, that maybe that was something somebody would have talked to me about a lot sooner, or that you didn't just take it for granted that this was an opportunity. This wasn't something that just immediately came to your mind that you could do. it took someone sort of giving me that nudge. And so now, like, I just really hope we're getting to the point where it doesn't take that, but everyone knows, whether you're a little boy or a little girl, you have the chance to go work in the NFL in whatever capacity you want. And I think that's what's so cool.
All right, just a couple more. Thank you so much for your time. But, you know, as sort of a, you know, we've gotten to be able to cover some of the different events that are during the off season. And I know one of your favorites is the Women of Red. That's in a little bit of a danger this year, as is with, you know, training camp, OTAs, right, everything. You know, are the Bucks gonna, is that still in the works, or it, you know, because I really would like to see that happen, that event happen. Is that been officially pulled off, or are the Buccaneers gonna do everything they can to at least give some type of normalcy to that event?
Yeah, so sadly, we really don't know anything at this point about what's going to happen come time for training camp or the season. I mean, there's still so much up in the air right now. Of course, the top priority is safety. And after safety, of course, we want everything to be as normal as possible. But unfortunately, at this point, it's still just too early for us to know anything in terms of what a season is going to look like, what a training camp is going to look like. And I know that I wish that wasn't the answer that I was giving. Believe me, I probably more than anybody would love to know what this next year is going to hold. We cannot wait for football to be back. But yeah, until we get a little bit better sense in the coming weeks and months of what our world is going to look like, we really don't know what events will or will not happen, or what they'll look like if they do happen.
Yeah, I've tried twice, and you've told me twice you don't know and you're not working on it. I feel like I'm on Facebook and I'm you know, during, right before free agency, and I'm asking you, so are the Bucks interested in Tom Brady? And you, again, we can't answer. Like, I can't tell you. But along those lines, I want to give you a chance, because this is something that I'm not sure if you're really going to embrace, but I think it's something that's long overdue. You get to host Scott, and you get to talk to these players, and you get to talk to Jason Light, and Brent was actually lucky enough to get in on that crew member call you just did a few days ago with Jason Light. But, you know, there's no back and forth. You rarely sort of get to, you know, talk about, you know, the Buccaneers from sort of what we get to talk about as podcasters. So, like, what do you think about the draft? Like, talk about the players. Like, how do you think they fit? Like, how, you know, like, let's, you know, Scott Smith is great, but let's hear from you. Like, what do you think? Like, let's hear some analysis. Like, do you, you know, was the way that the draft went what you thought? Do you think they filled the needs that you thought they had? Like, let's get some football talk with Casey.
I love it. Yeah, I'm all for it. No, I thought they did an incredible job. I think I saw an article, I think it was The Athletic maybe, where they gave their grade based on value points for how teams did, of the value of the player you got and the actual equity essentially that you had to spend to get him. And I think they had us ranked 6th out of the entire league, which I thought was amazing. And yeah, I mean, I thought Jason Light and his whole team did an incredible job. I mean, just the fact that we got one of the top 4 tackles and all we had to do was trade up one spot, I view that as almost a miracle. We had no idea how trading and everything in this draft was even going to go with it being virtual. So that was already a concern of how is that even going to work? Our team's even going to want to do that or be able to pull it off? And B, just I was so afraid those tackles were already going to be gone, or we were going to have to get one of them. We were going to have to trade up into the, you know, 7, 8, 9 range, and then you would have had to give up a lot of capital for it. And so as much as, yes, a 4th rounder can be an important pick, to me, to note, all you had to do is give up a 4th rounder to get a guy like Tristan Wirfs, who is a freak of nature athleticism that, you know, when you have Tom Brady back there and we all want to protect him, I absolutely think that was an incredible deal to make. So Tristan Wirfs to me is just going to be so fun to watch. He's so athletic and smart. And I was reading a profile on him in his time in Iowa, and just the way that they produce such incredible offensive line talent. And of these guys that are considered, you know, their top ones that have been picked in the top round of the NFL draft, he's the only one that actually started there as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. So he has just shown, he had time there to grow, and they said how much the game had slowed down for him, and that he didn't even have to use all of his athleticism by the time he was, you know, finishing there, because he was just playing so smart with the game. So I think that pick alone is incredible. Super excited for Antoine Winfield Jr. Love when you hear that a guy at the safety position is a ball hawk. I mean, that's just, we have seen that the turnover ratio is such an important statistic. Sure. And you want to cut down on offensive turnovers, of course, but the same way, you know, you want to do that, you want to increase the defensive turnovers. And he's a guy that I think is really going to be able to do that and add some competition there at the safety position, especially when we still don't really know what Justin Evans, you know, health situation is going to be like. He's been sitting out for a little while. So I think it's great to add, again, the more competition you can have in camp, the better. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a great pick. I love that we've got a couple running backs to add in there, that they've made it very clear that Rojo is the guy. They really believe that he's about to, you know, hit his stride, pun intended, you know, coming this next year. And you got some speed. You got a guy like Keyshawn Vaughn that you can maybe throw to out of the backfield a bit. And we know Brady loves to do that. So, you know, the idea that you can now have a guy that is a little bit more of a pass catching threat as a running back is huge. But yeah, I mean, so especially those guys. And then Tyler Johnson, I really feel like was a steal in the fifth round, that it was just kind of a weird way that the draft went with wide receivers, where you had sort of the run early on them. And then it seemed like because every team had gotten the one where they had this big need, there was kind of a lull, that like any team that was like in desperate need of a wide receiver had kind of done that run at the very beginning. So then there was a lull, which meant that a lot of these guys that had, you know, third or fourth round grades were still there later, just because people hadn't been picking wide receivers. So I really think that Tyler Johnson is someone that has more of a, you know, third to fourth round talent, just and the fact that we got him in the fifth is amazing. So I think that this draft class is exactly what they needed. They did such a good job of balancing need and best player available. And I can't wait to see him get to work.
All right, Casey, final question, and we'll get you out of here. I know you got some stuff heading on tonight, but I think we would be made fun of by everybody listening to this if we didn't at least approach this topic. Bucks got Tom Brady and Gronk. How excited are you to get to?
Really? I hadn't heard about that.
Well, let me break some news for you there, Casey. Tom Brady is coming to Tampa Bay. He's already there, actually, as a matter of fact. But talk to us about, you know, yesterday during the crew member call, we heard a lot about when Jason Light first knew that we were getting Tom Brady and what that was like. Tell us what that's like for you, you know, maybe some of your anticipation for this year as we kind of close out our time together here.
Yeah, it really was such a crazy experience because of the fact that I was home quarantined, that it almost didn't feel real. And honestly, I'm still thinking that there are times I have to remind myself, like, no, this is real. We have them on our team, because again, I've just been like home the whole time, not getting to do all the normal things we do when we sign a new player. And, but yeah, I mean, you're kind of hearing rumors it may happen. And then, you know, you're hearing that it is happening, still can't talk about it. And all, it's a crazy time when you're not sure about news, but you think news is going to happen, and just that excitement level. And as I'm realizing more and more as that time went on, that like, oh my gosh, we're going to get Tom Brady. Like, this is insane. This is so cool. And it has been amazing just to watch the excitement. Like, I love it for Bucks fans. I mean, anytime we do something that excites our fans, that's just the best for me. Like, it's so fun. And how could you not be thrilled that the greatest of all time, like, how often does anyone get to cover or watch or experience the greatest of all time and in their team? And that's what we're getting here. So I'm so excited. And I love that Bucks fans are excited, and Gronkowski too. I mean, that guy is just going to be so fun to do stuff with. I mean, when I got to do that interview with him recently over Zoom, I finished it and I just thought, oh my gosh, regardless of the fact that he's a future Hall of Fame tight end, like, regardless of how he is on the field, I'm just thrilled for my job. Because again, so much of what I do is the personality side. I was like, this guy is like the gift that's going to keep on giving. And he was so fun, and he was so respectful and nice and humble seeming, and just, you know, like, everything you would ever want. So to know that you have two guys that are going to be a lot of fun for my purposes and what I do, and also hopefully amazing on the field, it's just, I guess, a reporter's dream come true, probably.
That was Casey Phillips, team reporter, Buccaneers insider, Ren. That was really a fantastic interview that we just had.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I liked it a lot. And there were some questions I wanted to ask her, but it was going sort of so well, I didn't want to sort of delve into like the negative parts of it, mm-hmm. or sort of get it off track to where we were going. Plus, as always, you know, it's like, oh, we'll have you for a half hour, and you look down, we're like 40 minutes into it.
right.
It's like, I have so many more questions for you, but right. you know,
and that's how those interviews go a lot of times, is like, I've got a list of questions, and you just sort of, as the conversation happens, you're like, oh, well, I guess we're going to go to this question now, and maybe you'll circle back around or not, but you just sort of stay in that flow, and it's amazing how they sort of shape themselves like that sometimes.
Yeah, which was something that also I really liked, was because, you know, we do our shows organically, mm-hmm. you know, when we have, you know, with a first time guest, we do a little more prep.
Sure.
You know, as far as questions asked, but when people come on 2, 3, 4 times, yeah, we just have our questions in our head, and we just know that it's, you know, it's going to happen organically. And, you know, I felt good hearing from Casey that's the way she likes to work.
Right.
You know, like right. it's just sort of the natural flow, and, you know, the personalities mean a big thing to her. And you know, I'm really excited to see that At Home With episode. She yeah. starts with the rooms. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be really interesting. That's going to be fun to watch, because, you know, what happens is when you get sort of like more than one-on-one, or probably more than 3 people, 4 or 5 people in there, like it sort of goes off the rails really quick, mm-hmm. and people start, and not in a bad way, in a fun way, and people start to one-up each other and start to tell embarrassing stories about each other. So I think that's going to be real interesting, because like she said, you got friends on the team, but then you have your room, you know,
right.
it's like being in college, like you got friends on the dorm floor, but then you got your roommate, mm-hmm. you know, it's just obvious that they're much closer. So I'm really excited to start watching that.
Yeah. I love the fact that she talked about how she really is the driving force behind so much of what she does. Mm-hmm. It's not just some producer who's like handing her a script and she's an actor. Like, you know, she's coming up with the concept. She's putting it into action. She's, you know, I can imagine her running around for the Alan Donovan show, making the whipped cream pies real quick, cause she's going to do something with them, or, you know, whatever it is she's got going on. And, yeah, I loved hearing about that, but I also really appreciated where she was talking about the Alan and Donovan show. And, mm-hmm. She just sort of gushed over that for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. But I really loved the idea that she's like, I knew that we had something here. And I kind of felt a camaraderie about this as a podcaster. Like, you know, typically people want to hear the big name, but there was something in this personality that I thought would work. And I don't think anyone could deny that of all the player shows, the Ali and Donovan show has been the best over the years. At least that's my opinion. I mean, people have their own opinions. That's fine. But my opinion.
No,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, check the sheet. Bar none, man.
It's the only one that made it to a TV show, right? So and got like a repeat like the next year and got the upgrade. And she just
I like how they're like, okay, prove it. She goes, okay, I will.
Yeah. Right. But she had that concept that it really didn't necessarily have to do with the name. It had mm-hmm. to do with their personalities and the fact that they would make a good show, you know? And mm-hmm. she did, I think, actually what you and I try to do, Ren, is make a show you would want to watch, you know?
Right.
And it came through. It really came through in that particular show. And that's not to say the other stuff she's done has been bad. It just that one it shines.
Yeah, when you're ranking stuff, something's got to be at the top.
There you go. So she had that, and then I like how you pulled this out of her, Ren, was the idea of just kind of how feisty she was, or you said competitive, that you know, when she wasn't, when she chose not to compete, and
she chose not to take a scholarship to D1. You know, uh-huh. and she's a point guard. You know, if you've ever seen Casey, she's not a 7-footer.
Right. She's a point guard. Right.
She's a point guard. So, you know, I just thought it was funny. He's like, yeah. And then so, you know, I just go to the gym like as often as possible and just run these people uh-huh. into the ground.
Right. Show them up sort of, every time. Yeah.
Show them up because right. yeah, she'd go to Mizzou basketball games and be like, be a little down, like, mm. And then so she, the way she sort of process and cope would just like go make the boys look stupid uh-huh. down at the rec center, which I think was great.
Right. And she said that. She was like, a lot of times I was the only girl. Like, I in my head, I think I just pictured her going with the other girls playing. But she's like, no, these were mostly guys. And I was
Yeah, no, like I live sort of close to the USF St. Petersburg campus. They call mm-hmm. it the Bayborough campus down here. And, you know, in my younger days when I cared about personal fitness, I could get in there. It was pretty easy to get in. And, you know, they have outside courts and inside courts. You can go all the time. And, you know, if I played one basketball game out there, I played 100 mm-hmm. and there was just always, I shouldn't say always, but the few times I did play, you know, and a girl would come out and play with us,
right,
it was the same one. She was good. Mm-hmm. She played point guard. You know, she could dribble. She was fast. She could shoot. But, you know, so it's not, it's really hard to find 10 girls that want to sort of mm-hmm. on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Hey, let's go play basketball. So right. Yeah, when she said that, I knew that right away. Yeah, it was fun to see, you know, sort of the athlete and the competitive of Casey come out, you know, from that question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I guess the only other two things that I had, one, I loved when she was talking about how she eventually made her decision to get into sports broadcasting. She's like, if you go do the news, you got to go to the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. If you go do sports, you get to go to the Super Bowl. And I went, good choice.
Right. And, you know, see, when you put it, it's sort of a tip of the spear argument. Like, you know, I want to be a newscaster. I want to, you know, do the news. I want to be on TV and do that type of thing. You know, would you rather do it from Afghanistan or right. from San Diego?
Right.
And you really think about that way. You're like, yeah, that's kind of a no brainer.
Yeah. I'll go there. Yeah.
The only other thing that I got, was something that I never really thought about and I didn't want to ask the question. I did, but I didn't want to sort of, you know, pull the interview sort of negative spot is like players not showing up. Like that was something she talked about that was really that had worked with Allie and Donovan because mm-hmm. you got to, you know, with them, it's an every week thing. And
right.
we've heard sort of these behind the scenes stuff about, you know, when, you know, other outlets do sort of these, satellite shows or fundraising things or, you know, and like players are promised to be there and sometimes they don't. I mean, we can even go back to Josh Freeman who didn't even show up his own football camp, you know? Right. So that was just something that I wanted to ask. I'm like, so like, I was going to phrase it as like, not a Buccaneer, but maybe as a Ram or when you're working with the Wizards or the Capitals, like, is that something that happens a lot? Like, you know, and is there anybody you want to go ahead and call out like right now? For not showing up, but you know, maybe for another time, maybe, you know, that'd be a more of a one-on-one question without the record button blinking.
Yeah, everything running. I think the only thing that I had, I'm sorry, I want to back up. I really loved, Ren, how you took that conversation down the football path, which, you know, I'll go ahead and tell you, I wasn't thinking that because like I had my list of questions and I was thinking like more along some of the personal lines. And I was thinking about asking her how she felt about the draft, but then like I kept getting, you know, we talked about how the flow of the conversation goes. Like yeah. I kept hearing what she was doing, trying to respond to that. And I'm glad you pulled that back to get her response because you were absolutely right. Like she always asks the questions and she doesn't like, I may ask you a lot of questions, but I'll also input my response as well. She doesn't do that. Like she asks the questions and then there it is. And she moves on. It was good to finally get to just hear her from a, I don't want to say a fan standpoint, but at least from a team analysis standpoint, to get to talk about that.
Yeah. Cause she never, like you said, she never gets to, right. She's always asking Jason Light or she's asking Scott Smith or, you know, she's asking questions from the fans mm-hmm. to Scott and Smith or, you know, asking the player. So, yeah, I figured it would be I was hoping she really appreciated it. I think she did. Mm-hmm. And you know, she was ready to go, man. Like, right. you know, right. that we didn't prompt her with questions and, you know, she just went through the first like 4 or 5 picks of the Buccaneers draft and how they all make sense. And, I hope she appreciated that, but it was fun to hear from her. Like, look, you're around this team. Like, you know, football, you've been playing sports your whole life. Like you get it. Like, obviously, you know, you're just not a walking microphone. Uh-huh. Let's hear your thoughts on our team. Like, let go for it. And she did. And I thought that was fun to hear from her that way too. Yeah.
We'll need to get some people, have them start, you know, let them ask her the question and say, hey, when you're done answering, say, how about you? You know,
I just don't think it's the way it works.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm Josh. So the only other thing that I had really coming out of this was when she started talking about the draft picks and she started talking about Tristan Wirfs and mm-hmm. how, you know, if all it took was giving up a fourth rounder to go get him, mm-hmm. she'd do that all day long. And I recall, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had that phone call with Jason Light and he very much couched it in that same phrase of it was just a fourth rounder. Now to hear a lot of Bucks fans on Twitter talk about it, they're like, they gave up a fourth rounder. Do you know how valuable that is? And they're like, it was just a fourth rounder. Like it was okay. It's really not that big of a price to pay to go get your guy and move up one spot. So it was just interesting. interesting to me to know how those two things. And yeah, I think she's right. It was just a fourth rounder.
Yeah. And the way you got to think about it is, you know, if you're still on the fence of like, you know, what do you mean just a fourth rounder? It's you address
you
the
one
big,
spot.
You locked in the biggest, you filled the biggest need on your team that the entire NFL knew that you needed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it was for a fourth rounder. Like we said, like weeks back, you know, when we released the exclusive Jason Light interview was, you know, that's just the price of doing business. And if I woke up the day, you know, day two of the draft, and I found out and read a report that that Jason Light didn't want to give up a fourth round pick to go get Tristan Wirfs, you know, and we're sitting here day two of the draft and we still don't have that tackle. I'd be happy with Kinlaw because that's probably where they would have went. But I mean, you have to fill your need, man. And it's sort of, it's a difference of when Jason Light got here and started building the team where these draft picks are really crucial. But now we're at the point where the roster is really nice. There's some really deep, very special rooms on this team as far as wide receiver room, tight end room, safety room. And, you know, getting that guy that you can start to upgrade your entire offensive line is so much more valuable than a guy who is not going to start, may not make the team. A lot of people like to point to Kwon and Whitehead, and okay, you know, I get it. But if you go back and look at the fourth rounders in recent history, like they just, you know, they don't like, you know, one was Beninock, you know?
Right.
Like, would you rather have Caleb Beninock or Tristan Wirfs? You know, it's just that sort of mentality. But when you're in this, you know, win now, all in, which I think you should be every year, but now we finally have the roster to back it up. These are decisions you have to make, you know? Like the Saints, like, traded their whole entire day three of the draft to go get a tight end because that's what they needed and because their roster stacked. Well, our roster stacked and, you know, this is what we needed to do, period.
There you go. So with that, I mean, that's really all I had from the Casey interview. I mean, I don't want to regurgitate everything she said. You guys just heard it. So Ren, I'll give you, you know, any final words out there with that. But I guess before that, just a big thank you to Casey for agreeing to come on the show. You know, it was really a treat to get to talk to her and have her as a guest here at the PewterCast.
Yeah, I'll just echo those statements. And if you heard me, you know, halfway through the interview, I just stopped and said, you know what, I'm really glad this is going this way because I don't want to say it's scary, but you're just not sure if the person's going to open up.
Right.
You know, and it's not really to us. It's to the fans, and I think, you know, the people that have been watching Casey since she got here, you know, when Allie and Donovan, that draft class came in, I think they're really going to appreciate it. And it was a good time. So yeah, that's all I got.
All right, Ren. Well, close us out, man. Tell the folks out there where they can get in touch with you, all things on the internet.
Go Bucks. No,
not yet.
The best place to find me on the internet, of course, is on Twitter at Rendax_DAXT. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football, but if you don't want to put your thoughts out there on Twitter, feel free to slide in my DMs and we can talk Buccaneers football there as well.
No. If you guys want to get in touch with me, you can find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. And the show is at The PewterCast on Twitter and on Facebook. And shoot us an email to thepewtercast@gmail.com. Well, guys, everybody stay safe out there.
The quarantine might be over by the time we release
this. That's what I was getting ready to say. It was like, wait, can I tell the future that much? I don't. Whatever it is, whatever you guys are doing out there, I hope you guys are having a blast. Hope you're staying safe. And until next time, guys, we'll close this show out. As always, go Bucks!